Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line is Ntumpi Futhi Ntuli, who's the Chief Executive Officer at the South African Wind and Energy Association. A very, very good morning to you. Thanks for taking the time to join us. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm good, thank you.
So, of course, there is now, this does seem to be the shift, and we're allowed to start producing, well, without a license, one can produce up to 100 megawatts. Is that inclusive? Does that mean in any form? In other words, if I put up a wind energy farm, am I able to produce power that way?
Yeah, what it basically means is, especially the large or intensive energy users can now generate their own power. They don't need to rely on the national power utility. But what it also means is that they can buy power from independent power producers who may or may not be located, co-located with the facility. There are some implications though, because if power is being generated off-site, it means it needs to be transported through the grid, and that is called a wheeling of power. And that the regulations that guide how wheeling charges are determined is something that is still outstanding, and is something that as an industry we are looking forward to see how it's going to work out. Currently, Eskom does allow wheeling, but the cost is still a bit prohibitive at this stage.
Right. How is South Africa doing with wind energy? You know, we do have it. We've got wind as an incredible resource. I know I was driving somewhere. Yes. I think it was between Cape Town maybe and Plettenberg Bay. I can't remember exactly where it was. And I saw the most. I saw the most incredible wind farms. But we don't see it up in Gauteng, or I don't think we do. How are we doing with it?
Doing quite well. I think for wind only, we have about 2,500 megawatts installed.
Wow.
That will be about 34 wind farms spread across the country. And they are mostly located in the Eastern Cape, in the Northern Cape, and in the Western Cape, and hence you don't see them up in Gauteng. And the reason for that is because the wind resource is stronger in the coastal side than it is inland. So that's where we are. It's a huge capacity. You can power more than a million houses with that kind of power, and it's currently generating and feeding into the grid and adding to adding to resolving the power crisis.
Those farms, those wind resource areas, is that Eskom?
No, it's independent power producers.
Right.
So those are private companies that sign a contract with Eskom to supply them with power. And they invest, build power plants, operate them, and then sell the power to Eskom and sign a power purchase agreement.
Ah, okay. So those are still, those are private enterprises. That's
private
interesting. But that does also mean that there's an acceptance by Eskom of this form of power generation in terms of reliability.
Well, in terms of reliability, you can say because of the variability of the wind resource or the solar resource, maybe you still need to complement it with some form of base load capacity. But you can still predict with weather patterns when the wind is going to be stronger or when the sun is going to be shining. So in a way, it does have some level of predictability. So when you're planning, then you need to plan around how are we going to close the gaps that gets created when the wind is not blowing or when the sun is not shining?
I remember being in Europe and seeing a lot of these wind generation farms in the actual sea, in the ocean. Is that something that South Africa has considered?
Yeah, that's offshore wind. South Africa, we don't have offshore wind yet. Most of our wind farms are built inland. And a reason for that is because we've got a lot of land space. In Europe, you would see that they are constrained in terms of land space. And they tend to use offshore, and also because their shores are very shallow.
I was just going to say that. You know, I don't think something. I can't see one of these windmills lost in 10 minutes in the rough Atlantic Ocean. It's deep and it's very, very rough. Whereas, you know, the parts where I've seen it, I think around about Germany or Holland, in those areas, it's very, very calm and, as you say,
very
shallow.
But the new technology now is floating foundations.
Oh, wow.
Which now they are exploring for South Africa because we've got deeper shores. And so if we ever develop offshore wind in South Africa, of which there are a couple of developers who are exploring those opportunities now, it would definitely be floating foundations.
Incredible. Are you comfortable with the rate of acceptance and development in this area, or would you like it, prefer it to be a quicker process?
Look, if you look at a 10-year horizon, things have had, in the past, have really come to a stop. So the level of movement now in the policy space that we are moving is something that we really appreciate and welcome as an industry. Because, starting from 2019, we saw the IRP approval, and then we saw a series of approvals during the year 2020, including the ministerial determinations to allow the Department of Energy to procure power from independent power producers. And then we saw follow up with an announcement that we are now going to procure. And now the bid window 5 for renewable energy procurement has been issued, and the industry is currently preparing bids for the next round of renewable energy projects. So we are happy with the speed at which things are happening on the policy side, and I think the industry is matching that speed in terms of their response, in terms of providing power.
Absolutely incredible. And Ntombifuthi Ntuli, who is the Chief Executive Officer at the South African Wind and Energy Association, thanks for taking the time to speak to us.